Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
I'm reporting this week from Southern California, as I've done several times in the past. The theater scene here is underrated. It could certainly be better, but as with art and food, it has become more vibrant than you might think. But first, let me report on a Broadway show which is opening this week and which will appeal to you only if you answer yes to this question. Do you really care about ever seeing Bill and Hillary again? Well, a lot of people will reply no, so they won't even be tempted by the new play called Hillary and Clinton, written by the very prolific Lucas Hanaf and playing at the Golden Theater. Now, either they could care less about the seemingly never-ending, and let's face it, pretty amazing story of the most famous political couple of our times, or they simply are sick of all things political these days and are not looking for one more on their night out at the theater. On the other hand, the draws here are the stars, John Lithgow and Laurie Metcalf, who are beloved, respected, and can do virtually no wrong when they take to the stage, even when the material isn't quite up to their talents. The test probably won't matter that much, since Hillary and Clinton will likely be a limited run. Its stars always have other commitments waiting. First, let me say this is not a bio play, as in Bill and Hillary meet cute on campus, then marry and calculate a dual life that will suit their brilliant minds. Legal careers, then she'll stand by and let him be the office holder first, rise to the top, then it's her turn. But no, that's not the story of this play. Though Hillary, played by Metcalf, does say, "For decades I've been watching others do what I can do better." Hillary and Clinton essentially takes place over one long day in New Hampshire in a hotel room right before her do-or-die primary as a presidential candidate. The 90-minute piece features two other characters, her campaign manager and finally her opponent, one Barack Obama. Bill shows up rather unexpectedly, and thereafter it becomes a mini debate between the two. "My campaign is not a cure for your boredom," she insists. There are some interesting nuggets here. Bill pushing Hillary to finally show an emotional side. "Being human is overrated," she responds. Of course, she ended up winning that primary largely because she showed real tears on the last day. Now, that's not a spoiler alert, by the way, not only because it really happened, but because the play doesn't even go that far. The most interesting idea is when Hillary accuses her husband of perhaps not actually wanting her to win. Now, there's drama, and I always suspected that Bill never really could imagine playing second fiddle. But it's passed over too quickly in this play. Now, this is not a strong or dazzling piece of writing. Hanaf did it better with Dolls House 2, but it's enjoyable enough, and that is strictly because of Lithgow and mostly Metcalf, who are wonderfully physical actors and get every ounce of humor where they find it. By the way, at the same time as this play opens, the real Hillary and Clinton are on a speaking tour called An Evening with the Clintons. Tickets are being sold at large venues. For example, at the Inglewood Forum, where I saw Springsteen, Dylan, and tons of other concerts growing up. Frankly, I'd prefer to see their fictional counterparts. Now, in total contrast to Broadway's star-driven Hillary and Clinton, are the two theaters I've visited out here in the West. First, I attended a one-act festival produced by the Actors Gang. Now, that's the troupe devoted to what it calls relevant theater, and a specific style incorporating punk rock and pulp culture. It was founded by Tim Robbins in 1981. The Actors Gang presents provocative, always entertaining material, but it's much more than that, and it's had real impact. It offers education programs to introduce kids to theater, working in some 15 schools in at-risk communities. It also created a project which is currently in at least a dozen prisons in California. Most admirably, the company that employs incarcerated juveniles post-parole. Its founder, Tim Robbins, has continued to make movies and TV series. Just last week here, I mentioned a movie he had directed, The Cradle Will Rock. Hey, a guy has to make a living. but you have to give him credit for his lifelong commitment to theater and how it can affect and change lives. The company's relatively new digs are at the Ivy Substation, an old plant in Culver City. Regular ticket prices are low, but if you show up before the show on Thursdays, it's pay what you can. The 90-seat house is modest, the small bar offers drinks, and the patrons are, well, they are attentive and appreciative. The one act I saw, by the way, was Samuel Beckett's Crap's Last Tape, a tale of a 69-year-old man listening to his 39-year-old self on a recording. "Perhaps my best years are gone," he says. "No, I don't want them back." Ah, but watch him embrace that tape machine as if it is the woman he once loved. Well, you know he may not mean those words. The actor, Stephen Porter, was touching and frankly very funny. It took him the first 15 minutes in complete silence to figure out how to get down to pick up a dropped item. Those knees, that alcohol, lots of nodding heads in the audience. Culver City, incidentally, a formerly sleepy town, is now a happening, hopping place. The other theater there is the Kirk Douglas, where the Actors Gang used to be situated, by the way. The area is filled with eateries, the very cool Culver Hotel, Sony Studios, and a beautiful new Cold War museum called The Venda. If you doubt Culver City's appeal, know that Apple will be opening a facility for 1,000 employees there soon. Lots of potential theater goers, we hope. And then I venture to Santa Barbara, to the New Vic Theater, where the Ensemble Theater Company is celebrating its 40th year, just a few more than the Actors Gang. The Vic's current show is called Everything is Illuminated, based on the wildly invented novel by Brooklyn's Jonathan Safran Foer. Now, Simon Block has done an excellent job adapting this difficult book, which takes us on a young Jewish American's journey to the Ukraine to discover his grandfather's history during World War II. He is led by a humorous, if challenged, Ukrainian guide whose own story eventually becomes even more harrowing than that of the man he is guiding. There are 5 actors in the ensemble, and as in the book, plenty of beautiful sentiments. What is with your morbid obsession with dead relatives? I've gone a long way to escape my past. I've always found reassurance to be temporary. This is tough going, lots of talk for 2.5 hours, but I must say I was impressed by the almost packed house of Santa Barbara folks coming out on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. I don't know if Everything is Illuminated will make its way to New York, where it would seem to be a natural for an off-Broadway venue. But we shall see. So, interesting contrast for me and sharply different experiences in the world of theater. And yet what they do share are people who do it for a long time and for all the right reasons. By the way, to end up where I began, John Lithgow and Laurie Metcalf deserve tremendous credit for consistently returning to the stage. They have a batch of Tonys for it. But still, they make much better salaries on screen. Will they get Tony nominations for this one? Well, Jill, stay tuned. And you might hear a cat meowing there. A cat just jumped on my desk here.
Is it yours?
It is not.
Okay. And then I heard some dogs barking?
No, that was somebody coughing.
Oh, wow. That's nothing like live. It's fantastic. Live animal. This is like live theater. So children
yes,
and dogs.
There you go. You can only get it live.
Quick question. How have the reviews been for Hillary?
Well, it's just opening this week.
So, okay. So we don't.
First, yeah. Let's watch for those. I think it'll get fair reviews. It's played a few other plays before it came.
Right, I heard about that.
It's a couple years old, actually.
And timely from then. I know this was coined a long time ago, but I think it is wise to say if you have Clinton fatigue, then...
That's right. But when I mentioned that I was going to see this, oh, God, you know. But isn't that interesting? What timing that the Broadway show opens while they're taking their real show out on the road. I mean, you couldn't make that up.
Yes, quelle coincidence. Speaking of reviews, I am curious. How was Oklahoma reviewed?
Wasn't that interesting? Yeah, you know, the New York Times gave it a complete rave. They had loved the original one, not the original one, but this particular version of it from Brooklyn, where it moved. Some very good reviews, some not good reviews. As you know, I didn't care for it. I just thought it was
different.
I love reimagining. I'm all for that. But whoa, this one with the, I don't know. It just had too many weird things for me. And I, again, I'm not alone. Very, very mixed reactions to it. Some find it amateurish. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Some like the hot chili that they get at intermission.
And the cornbread?
And the cornbread, yeah. This one was not for me. And I'm curious. It's at a small house. I mean, for Broadway, it's at Circle and Square. So I'm very curious how long that one will run. I'm sure it's open-ended. I'd be surprised if it went through a year. But
and do you know people who have seen it? I mean, is it you know how sometimes things are 50% split? Some people, you know, some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it in the pot.
And it was that way when it was in Brooklyn. Obviously, there were some who loved it, some who didn't. I only know one family that came out from they were here from there from Los Angeles, and they went to see it and didn't like it at all. They thought it was, they just didn't care for it at all. So I said, oh, well, it makes me feel better. Cause, you know,
these the reimagining was more than, it was more extreme. I think that's another thing that people might respond to. Sometimes the deconstruction is fast, you know, as John Doyle has done numerous times with Sondheim. Yeah, and sometimes sometimes it works, and I think there was an example when it didn't exactly, but you know, that's the point of the exercise. Taking or modifying something quite radically, I don't know, course you can never answer this question, but where is the line of reimagining crossed? And
the interesting thing with Oklahoma, they did not change a word of the script. So it takes reimagining to the extreme, which you can do without changing the text or the lyrics. They do change the dance in the middle. That's really way out there. You know, it's all staging. I mean, why you have to have all the lights on in the theater, and then why the whole thing goes dark and all you're doing is looking at something on screen. I don't know. But, you know, God bless them. Let's see what happens to it. There's room for everybody. There's room for every opinion, and that's what makes theater theater. And I am interested in how Bill and Hillary will be received, and who's going to go see it. Who hasn't had enough? I think the only reason people will go are for those two stars, and they are stars.
Stage right or not, with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.